we doing? Good morning. Maybe look at a neighbor, say, I'm glad you're here, not watching football. Tell a neighbor, hi, and you're suffering through it too, we know. So I'm a big Raider fan, don't tell me. Got it waiting for me, so don't tell me any scores or anything like that. Well, hey, it's exciting to be here and worship with you all. My name's Rob, I'm one of the pastors here. And before we even get started, I want to take this moment and stop and reflect. Today marks a day 15 years we remember in our nation's history, the tragic day that happened 15 years ago, September 11th. And so we remember the 2,996 lives that were lost on that day. For all of the first responders, the heroes, the citizens that gave their lives and sacrificed to take care of others on that day. And so we honor and respect all of the first responders and so many people that give their lives and fight for this nation and fight for others' peace and security. And so we want to remember that and give honor to that. So with that, would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we know that you are a God that is not far from pain and suffering. Lord, we remember in our history pain and tragedy, Lord, that struck 15 years ago. Lord, and there's more pain and suffering in this nation that continues to this day. And so, Lord, we lift that up to you. Lord, and as we come through these doors, we might have pain and suffering in our own lives. May this be a place where we come and find peace. And Lord, the only place we know to find it is in you. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen. Well, we are continuing our sermon series in Mark called The Center. And the center of all things is Jesus. And so today we're going to find a story in Mark 4:35. If you have your Bibles, go there. What I'm going to do is just paraphrase the story. But today, the sermon title is The Storm. And many of you might know this story if you've grown up in church. But a wonderful story. I love the story. And I feel like it speaks so much truth into our lives today. And so here's essentially jumping right into it. The story goes, you have Jesus is with all of his disciples, and disciples are like apprentices. They wanted to learn more about Jesus, and so they were following Jesus. Jesus called them by name. He said, come, follow me. And so they're going out, and they're following Jesus, and what he's saying to them, he's teaching them in Mark 4 before, he's teaching them these parables, and he's giving these apprentices, these disciples, kind of inside information into these parables, to these stories. And so they're healing, they're doing all kinds of radical things. And so the disciples must just be on cloud nine. Things are going well. And they're following Jesus, and they all decide to get in a boat. Jesus says, let's go to the other side. And so he says, let us go over to the other side. And so as they start to go, they enter in what the scriptures say, a furious squall. A serious storm starts to crash over, waves start to crash over the boat, and all of a sudden, you have these disciples, whom many of them were fishermen, so they're mariners, they're experts on the sea, they know all about the sea, and yet they begin to fear for their lives. And so they enter in, they're with Jesus, things are going great, and then a storm hits. And that's life, isn't it? Things can be going great in your life, and then a blink of an eye, a storm hits. And maybe you might not be going through suffering right now, but we are all one phone call away. Maybe it's a doctor phoning in saying about your health, or a family member's health, or a lost loved one, or something, maybe a loss of a job. We all go through storms in our life, and it can hit us in a moment when we're least prepared. These fishermen, in fact, I mean, they had spent their whole lives, their whole trade was knowing the sea and knowing it well, and they find themselves at a point of death, and a point of just anxiety and fear, and so they even, they question Jesus, and they call out to him. You know, I was reading this study in the newspaper, so interesting. So today is 15 years as we mark the anniversary, if you would, of the September 11th. And so we remember the day of that tragedy. Yet they did a study 10 years ago. They found, they said, polling Americans, how anxious, how happy are you, and thinking about September 11th. Compared to 5 years ago, we are more anxious and worried today, reflecting about September 11th, than we were 5 years ago. We live in a society with technology and all sorts of communication. We should be progressing more and more towards peace. Yet we find it in the news and everything. We hear more and more stories of tragedy. And we find ourselves, compared to 5 years ago, more and more worried and anxious. And so we're living in a world where we get it in the news feeds and the storms in our life. They hit us wherever we go. And we become worried. And so it's not only that, but there's the physical things, like I was mentioning, our health. That can affect us. And these storms can enter into your life and just cause tragedy. And so you find yourself looking for peace. And so where do we often go? Sometimes we try and cope with this storm in our life, and we find comfort in other things. So sometimes we find it in food, or maybe in others' approval, or maybe posting Instagram or Facebook and those likes that are like a buzz for us. And so we try and find ways in our lives that we to make ourselves happy. Maybe it's, oh, if I get this house or this job or this car, I'll be happy. I'll be at peace. But really, we're ignoring a major problem going on, a storm that is brewing in our soul, and we don't feel at peace. In fact, I don't know if many of you knew this, after September 11th, churches were just packed walls to walls for weeks after September 11th. Because many people were wondering, what is going on? How could this happen? And what ended up happening was, after that, they slowly started to trickle away and they stopped coming. So there's something inside of us when tragedy hits, we look and we ask God, what's going on? So looking at this story, I find it so interesting. The storm hits. The disciples, they're pros. They should be okay with everything. But there's two things that are going on here. We want to look at what are the disciples doing and what Jesus is doing. So the disciples are kind of freaking out. They're saying, oh man, we're going to die. We're going to drown. The storm's hitting. But then what Jesus is doing is so interesting. Jesus is asleep. Jesus is sitting here and he's sleeping. It says he's on the stern. Look at it in verse 37. The boat is nearly swamped. And then verse 38, Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. Jesus was sleeping on a cushion in the middle of a storm. Isn't that odd? What is going on? In the middle, and I feel like this is so relevant to our day and age. In the middle of the storm, sometimes when God is quiet and we see tragedy happen, we feel like God is sleeping, don't we? In fact, and don't quote me on it, I think it's somewhere in the Psalms, Psalms 44, I think. There's a psalm, and I love the Psalms because they are poems in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and they're written to God. And so there's this cry to God, God, are you sleeping? You see it throughout the Psalms of, God, where are you? Why do you stay quiet? I'm suffering. I'm going through all of this pain. Where are you? So as Jesus is sleeping and the disciples are worried, I think we can connect to the disciples. It's a common human tendency to say, God, where are you in this pain? Where are you through this difficulty? So know that you're not alone as you question and maybe you're wondering where God is in your circumstance. Yet God is not, he's not off in the distance. He's there. He's not acting. He's sleeping. So we can learn a few things from this because it's really interesting. There's a point, there's a reason that this is in the scriptures and there's a reason that Jesus is doing this. So as Jesus is sleeping, we learn first that Jesus was human. Jesus was fully God and yet fully man. So Jesus had needs. He ate, he drank, he slept. And so we know Jesus experiences the same thing that you and I do. Jesus isn't far removed from our pain and suffering. He understands these things. He got tired and he needed to sleep just like you and I need to sleep. Interesting fact, the CDC says 1 out of 3 Americans aren't sleeping well. we're worried, we're stressed, and some of them, they're physical conditions, but we struggle with these things. Do you do this? I mean, I do this sometimes in the middle of the night. I wake up. Do you do this in the middle of the night? You wake up, and you're just like, you know, your brain's just like racing, and it's like, I got to do this, I got to do it, and you're just like going through, and you can't sleep, and you can't, is it just me? Just me? Okay, thank you. Not alone. Woo. No. But we do this, right? We don't sleep. And that's, again, we have all of this technology and all of these things, yet our sleep is decreasing more and more. There's anxiety, there's worries, there's storms in our life that can't be solved with things on this earth. And so Jesus shows that. He enters into our pain and our suffering, and he experiences the same things that you and I experience. But here's what I love about this. That natural kind of tendency of all humanity that we can experience with other people. Look at the disciples' response, if you have your text with you. It says this in verse 38. It says, the disciples woke Jesus up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care? God, don't you care about my pain? Don't you care about my suffering?" And so they question God's goodness in here. And so many of you, maybe if you find yourself just coming through these doors and saying, I'm not sure about God, we're glad you're here. But maybe you found yourself saying, well, if there's all this senseless, these senseless acts of evil in this world, I can't make sense of there actually being a good God. How could these evil things in our society that keep happening more and more, all of these shootings, racial discrimination, all these things going on in our country, if these things continue to go on, how can God really be there? And is he doing anything? Yet, I would also argue at the same time, just because, and many even atheistic philosophers will make the same argument, you can't simply say because you can't decide what the meaning of evil is, that you can't simply say God doesn't exist because of that. Just because, for example, I'm getting all tongue-tied here. For example, black matter, or black holes. Do you understand some of these things in the universe? Like, some of you might even be scientists. You begin to learn about these, and even scientists say, we don't even fully understand. So a lot of them are created from, some were there in the beginning of the universe, but then there are these holes that kind of suck, I don't know, matter, other matter in, and they're sucking matter in, and usually from a dying star, and they're sucking in light, and they're so dense that light can't even escape out of that. And so it kind of gets you, I mean, to even just blow our minds a little bit. Some of these dark matters, these black holes, can be small as an atom and yet weigh as much as some of our largest mountains here on Earth. Gets your brain just to pop. And they're an atom, right? An atom's invisible. How do you see an atom yet it weighs more than mountains? Just because I can't see it doesn't mean, well, these black holes don't exist. No, just because we don't understand something, scientists don't fully understand them, just because we don't fully understand something doesn't mean it doesn't exist or God isn't in control of things. Because here's something important I think we need to see. As Jesus is sleeping, he is trusting and he's putting his faith in that the plan that he and the Father have made. Jesus trusts the Father. He knows he's not going to die, so he's able to sleep because he knows that it's not his time. He's able to sleep well. And so the disciples, they're the ones freaking out and saying, Jesus, wake up, wake up, wake up. What's going on? He says, don't you care that evil is here? And so I love Jesus' response. It's so interesting. Instead of, as they question and doubt Jesus, because they say, Jesus, don't you care? He gets up, he wakes up. And so, because you see how Jesus is in control, right? He doesn't be like, my bad, sorry, I just fell asleep, guys, what's going on? You know, no, he gets up, he's in control. And he says, be still. He says, quiet, be still to the waves, and the waves are still. Jesus performs a miracle, and he takes the raging sea, and he speaks peace into it. He has control over nature itself. And so some of us might be here today and be like, that's crazy. That doesn't make, scientifically, you can't prove that. And of course you can't. That's the definition of a miracle. It doesn't make sense scientifically. So you can rationalize or argue, well, maybe just the storm happened to be dying down at that moment, and when Jesus said that, it calmed down. Sure, but maybe you're trying to find control of your life, and you don't want to surrender control to a God that has control over the universe, because you know you would have to surrender your life and your control. And so maybe you're holding on. You don't want to believe the miracles of Jesus, of healings and calming the sea, because you want to hold on to the control. You want to find peace in your life. And I want to gently ask, how is it working? Is it working for you? If not, there is a God, that Jesus, who trusts the Father, and he has a plan. I love his plan. So he gets up in the story. He wakes up, and as he calms the waters, he speaks peace to the waters. But notice his response. His first response is calming the waters, not, do you know who I am, bros? Like, how dare you question me, right? He doesn't do that. He doesn't say, put some respect on my name. You know, he doesn't say any of that. He says, he calms the waters. But then look at his next response. He says this. He says, where is your faith? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Why does he say that? Why does Jesus question their faith? So notice this. Notice he does care, because he rebukes the storm. Jesus cares about evil, and he speaks against the evil storm that is about to take the life of the disciples. He speaks against that. But also he seems to allow that, and he seems to question, why don't you trust? I'm God, and you can trust that your life is in my hands. And so sometimes, maybe if you consider yourself a Christian, as you find yourself here, sometimes we always ask for peace in our life, and we want the storms to go away, and we just want peace. God does bring that. God brings healing. But sometimes in our lives, what the greatest testimony is going to be, because we live in a blessed area in our nation, in Orange County, we have so many wonderful things. Yet those things, I was sitting down in a conversation with somebody earlier a couple weeks ago, and they're saying, oh, I've got this anxiety and this and different things, and we're talking through it, and they're saying, but I shouldn't complain about all of these things. I have a nice job, have a nice family, a nice car, all these things. And I just said, whoa, wait a second. Since when does a nice car or a nice job satisfy any of those things? Sure, money might bring you some comfort, but when does it ever solve all of your problems? They don't really go away with money. You still have all of these things. And so Jesus says, I have control. He says, why don't you have faith that your life is in my hand? Because when you trust Jesus, maybe the greater testimony in your life is saying, I'm in the middle of a storm. Things are crazy, but I'm trusting God, and I've got a peace in my soul. People are going to look at you and say, what is going on? That your life's collapsing. You have cancer. Your family members are passing away. All of this storm is in your life, and you have a joy in your soul? How can you have peace in your soul? I want to hear about that. I heard a story this week of a pastor sharing. He was out playing basketball. Normally, some of us play basketball. I haven't got to join him yet, but come in the mornings, Tuesdays, Wednesdays. See Pastor Brian if you ball, if you're good. See him. Even if you're not good, you can dunk on Pastor Brian. So he was coming, and he was noticing this guy that was just like a tryhard, right? And he was like, he just overdoing everything. He was like, dive for every ball, and just trying way hard, and the pastor said, I didn't want to get hurt, you know, so this guy was just, you know, so intense, And then his other buddy, so this pastor was kind of like, dude, what's up with this guy? It was one of his friends, like, why is this guy trying so hard? His buddy says, go hear his story. So he's like, all right. So after they're all playing, you know, so the pastor's confessing, here I'm kind of making fun of this guy. He chases the guy down. He goes, dude, why are you so intense in all your basketball games? He says, man, 8 years ago, I was shot in the back, and I was paralyzed. And now I can walk. And he says, man, I play basketball like I've got just one game left. And so, man, I can't help but just dive for every ball. I can't help but just go all out. Think of that guy's testimony. And the pastor's like, wow. Like, he goes, I felt like a moron. That guy's testimony of saying, man, imagine even through all of this tragedy, the testimonies, the things that you can share, not only during the storm, but when God has delivered you from that. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you know no matter what storm you go through that there is deliverance, that there will be peace one day. And that's as the Christian faith, that's what we put our hope and our trust in. Lastly, as we look at this, what is Jesus' response? His response, he rebukes the storm. He cares about evil and suffering in this world. He doesn't go and he doesn't leave it just off by itself. He does care. He does quiet the storm in the disciples' life. But I think even more importantly, as we look at this, we see Jesus ultimately was sent. He loves us so much. He cares for you so much that God sent Jesus to this earth, his one and only son, and he sent him on the cross to die for you and for me. Because you have to see this, there's a storm going on, and it's much more than things in this world. There's a storm, there's a sea of separation between us and a holy God that we can't cross by any boat or any means because of the sin or offense towards God. And yet Jesus, when he goes to the cross, what is some of the most painful breakups in this world are relationships. Losing a loved one or somebody that you loved and now you're separated. Jesus, being eternally with the Father forever, was with God. And then when he bore all of our sin on the cross, right before he goes to the cross, the scriptures say that he asked God the Father, is there anything I can do to take this cup away? God, if it is in your will, would you remove this cup? Why? Was Jesus doubting God, or was he trying to get out of this? No, because he knew the pain of being separated from the Father. Because of the sin, God, being a holy God, can do nothing, can have no part of sin. And so Jesus was removed. Why? Because of his love for you. He was separated from the eternal love of the Father so he could bring you to him. So he could speak peace into your life when there's a storm in your life much greater than this eternally separating us from God. This, the rest, the peace that we can't find in our souls. Jesus, the only way he can accomplish this is through the cross. And so he accomplishes this and he brings us to God. He faces the storm so you and I can have peace. God loved the world so much that he sent his only son so that there wouldn't be a storm, there wouldn't be raging, just an insecurity, anxiety in our lives, and that he could bring peace eternally. God cares about you. He cares about your pain, he cares about your suffering, and maybe he's here today calling you home. Because what in a storm, what in a hurricane, what's the most peaceful spot? The eye, the center of it all, where you find peace is in Jesus. Peace between you and God and peace in your situation because you can trust, though you die, you will rise again someday. So no matter what happens in your life, you can have peace. I mean, imagine the disciples, right? Imagine if they fully knew and trusted in their lives and they knew that they wouldn't be harmed in the storm. Imagine what that ride would look like, right? There's just backflips and, you know, the storms would be coming. They're just like, wow, you know, this is awesome. Right? How fun would that? It's like a roller coaster. Most of the times, right, you can trust that roller coasters won't break on you. You feel like you're secure. Imagine if the disciples knew everything's going to be okay. What would your life look like if you fully trusted in Jesus' work on the cross? So no matter what storm comes your way, you have the peace, the hope, and security of God's love. Do you know God's promise in John 10:29? Jesus says, whoever is drawn near to me, I will not lose a single one of you. Nobody can snatch you from my hands. Jesus' promise is that nothing can separate you from God's love. Maybe you've been on the sideline, and maybe you've been suffering with just a storm in your life. You won't find peace. You can try to find peace for your soul, but you won't find it anywhere else other than Jesus. So maybe today my prayer is that you would find rest. Rest for your soul. And may that be in Jesus as he speaks peace to the storm. May he speak peace in your life here today. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, some of us are dealing with tragedy right now in our lives. Lord, your word says that you are close to the brokenhearted. You didn't rebuke the disciples for questioning you, for doubting. Lord, yet we see it wasn't the amount of their faith. The disciples had so many doubts. Yet it was your goodness and your grace that calmed the storm. Lord, may you calm the storm in our lives now. Would you pray this with me? Father, I want to begin to trust you. I want peace in my life. Lord, I'm tired of trying to do things my own way, trying to find comfort in my own life. Lord, there's peace in you. May I begin to trust you and put my hope and faith in you, maybe even for the first time. God, show me what that's like. Lord, we thank you that your word in our failure to have faith, that you say that you will give us faith. Lord, give me faith. Give us faith here today to trust what you say, that your word is good and that you are great. Father, we pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Sing, I need you. And I need you to soften my heart and break me apart. I need